Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short.
Patriots Playbook.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast feed over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I feel today a little like I've been, in the boxing ring with a couple of bullies that I really have no shot against. You know, I'm 6 foot, about 200 pounds, right? I feel like I've seen two people now, about 6'7", and both going about three bills, just knock me silly around the ring today. Because, you know, this whole conference realignment mess, as I try to keep up with it and see if I even, you know, have jobs anymore, some of the jobs that I have, it's just absolutely driving me nuts. And I think I've finally reached my point of no return, Big E. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. He's Eric Scalavino, of course, from Patriots Football Weekly. And I say that because clearly college football is the engine that drives pro football in this country. College football right now is completely off its flipping rocker in this country.
Yep.
People have gone nuts, and it's 10% of the people going nuts, I think, largely over about the other 90%.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the 10% are people who make decisions regarding college football.
Right, that's exactly right.
They've gone nuts.
They've absolutely gone nuts.
And the 90% is saying, what the hell are you doing?
And there's no question. There's no question. And so while I know for the most part everybody says, oh, you know, the Big East should fold or the ACC should fold or the Big 12 should fold in the last couple of years, we've all seen this now. And then a huge hit happens today with Louisville just saying they're going to be, go into the ACC because the league's presidents voted them in today. To me, it just underscores without a shadow of a doubt that the school's presidents in this country, and I have opined about this, you know it, we've talked about it on the show, I've written it on GoLocalProv.com. The problem with this is that school's presidents are completely and totally out of their friggin' gourds on collegiate athletics and
because
what it means to their student-athletes.
Greedy.
Of course they're greedy. It's all about them
Avarice.
And their legacies and the facilities and the buildings they can build on their campuses and having the statue of themselves erected in the middle of the, school quad. That's all it's about and what their legacy is going to be because, hey, look how much money I brought in to our athletic coffers. That's all it's about. Forget the fact that you got to send your friggin' women's field hockey team on the road 2,000 miles where they're going to miss 2 days of studies. And then, of course, I would, if you're a fan or you go to one of those schools that I'm talking about, one of these big-time schools I'm talking about, you're saying, well, I only went to the school to play sports anyway because they gave me free ride. So doesn't it stand that I should play that sport do whatever the school tells me to do because they're giving me a free ride? Okay, I can understand that logic. But you know what that leads to? The absolute dumbing down of America.
Right.
Because degrees aren't worth squat anymore. And you've got to pay $100,000 or more. Some schools are over $50,000 a year now. $55,000 a year. And so what are we paying for in this country? That's the bottom line. Prices are inflating. Knowledge is decreasing. Sheer unadulterated lunacy has taken over.
Attention spans are shortening.
Oh, my God. Multitask? How about one task? How about unitask?
About task?
Can we do one task well first before we go on to something else? Dumb bastards. I mean, come on, really? Can we just do one thing right? One thing is all I'm asking. One thing. Just one.
You do the show, right?
Oh, my God. I didn't bring you on this show to agree with me all the time, damn it.
All right, You suck on this show.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, I'm sorry. I could not let it go anymore because I'm pulling my hair out today. I'm trying to get a story done, and then this happens.
I would advise against that.
It doesn't work. At least you guys have a definitive deadline because you know you got to hit publication, you know, X amount of time after the game is over on a Sunday in theory, right?
Yeah.
And here, things just change left and right, and I said, my head is spinning. It's on a wibble, you know, and stop the world from spinning. And that's how I feel today. Stop the world from spinning. Completely and totally out of control. And how does this affect the New England Patriots? Not one damn bit that I can think of. Not one damn bit. Other than the fact that college football is the engine that drives pro football in this country. And the fact remains is that maybe for the next 5 to 10 years, while the goose is still fat, okay, these programs are going to get their $15 to $18 to $20 million a year, which is fine, sounds great, but at some point in time, because fans are going to be forced to travel much further to see their teams, okay, they're not going to have any discretionary income or disposable income to follow their teams any longer, which is also going to include to not being able to pay for the cable package that, oh, by the way, just doubled in the last year. Because of the rights fees that the leagues are getting from the television carriers. And so the TV carriers, who are they going to turn this back to, you dopes? They're going to turn it back to the subscribers. You! Does anybody understand how trickle-down works in this country anymore? I'm preaching Ronald Reagan here.
Yeah, not a bad one to preach.
No, but it's going to happen. The bill is coming due. It may not be 10 years from now. But it will be probably inside of 20 years from now. The bill will come due. Nobody, of course, will remember this conversation that I've had. Keep this archived. Let's remember this conversation in 20 years. Shall we revisit if we're both still walking and talking at the time and not completely...
Sure.
If we're not completely, you know, engulfed in mad cow disease by then?
Mad cow?
That's my word for dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
You know, I have mad cow. When I forget, you know, and my girlfriend yells at me for forgetting something, I'm sorry. Sorry, hon. But mad cow today.
How would all of this change for you if you were named the replacement for Gil Santos as the play-by-play host?
I would probably do a lot less worrying about where my next job is coming from.
Yet another reason for Patriot Nation
to rise
up and help John Rook.
Somebody heard yesterday or saw the story on PatsFans.com.
Yes. Hopefully a lot of people saw it.
Because passed
it on.
Because somebody asked me about it last night when I was at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
Oh, really?
For a Providence Holy Cross basketball game last night. And they said they've heard other things in the, you know, rumor mill that so-and-so has been offered this or so-and-so has been offered that or so-and-so has been telling people he's got the job.
Uh-huh. And I know who the so-and-sos are you're talking about.
And I don't know whether this is a fact or not. All I can tell you is that I've been in this business now, the broadcast business, as a professional, which means I've been paid to do this now for 34 years. Okay. 34 years. I started as a paid professional at age 19, so do the math. You know how old I am. Okay? I know
you told us yesterday anyway.
Yes, I know. But I'm just, for those that might not have listened yesterday, you're listening today. Oh, God, he's 53. I get it. Been around the block once or twice. Too many times, probably. Another reason why I'm probably punch drunk and suffer from mad cow. Just because I understand it's politics more than anything else. It may very well be political. So it doesn't matter, really, unfortunately, how qualified you are or how deserving you are. It's all about right place, right time, right set of circumstances.
Even more reason why we need the people to politic for you.
Well,
to help out.
That's very kind of you to say. But I'm prepared. Whatever happens, happens. I'm not going to stop working. I'm not going to cease to exist.
No.
But, I mean, this is, you know, there are very few jobs in your life and very few positions in your life that you can say would be altering. This would be an altering job for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this is something I've aspired to for since before I started as a professional 34 years ago. I worked a long time. Mm-hmm. Long time. Think I've built up my resume enough where... you know, I think merit consideration, but again, far be it from me. I'm not the one who's making the decision. So with that being said, if it happens, great. I'll be, you know, Gil won't have any worries, put it that way. I will make sure that his shoes are well filled and his legacy continues. That may not be what so-and-so looks for. And I have to be prepared for that, just the way it is. Sometimes you need a little something, or you've already made promises, or you got to pay off somebody, or that's the way the world works. It's full of greed and corruption.
All I can tell you is there's a feedback email function on the Patriots.com.
Yes.
That allows you to send comments to various departments in the organization. Front office is one of them. And those comments, all of them get read by the people in the front office.
Really? You know, yes. I don't even think I knew that.
So, I could.
I guess only, I haven't dug enough on the website to find that out.
All I can say is I encourage everybody who's listening to use that feedback comment email service. Let your voices be heard and influence this decision if we can.
Should I hire Eric Scalavino as my agent? Wow.
Well, I want you to be on the bus with us on road trips next year.
Well,
I want you to come on.
So we can talk about the word of the day together?
Sure.
We can sit there and go, what are those?
We have so much fun, John, on road trips,
I'm
telling you.
I know. But, you know, they can sit there and they can accuse us of being the two nerds talking about, you know, word of the day in the back of the bus.
Guilty.
We're just trying to rise the level of consciousness.
I always have my nose in a book or a magazine. I'm always reading. Even though we have movies on the bus, too.
Frankly, I don't disagree. That's when I get most of my reading done. I hardly ever read at home because I'm chained to my computer at my desk in my office, you know, doing one thing or another. So the only time I ever get a chance to read is when I'm traveling, really.
Yeah.
So I'm always, you know, and I've been a Sports Illustrated subscriber now since I was 14, so almost 40 years.
Do the math, yeah.
Almost 40 years. Now, there have been a few months here and there where it skipped, or I forgot this, or when I was a poor college student, I couldn't afford it, right?
Yeah.
Or when I was a poor working professional a few years ago, couldn't really afford it. But I'd say for the most part, I have not missed a year. I've not missed an entire year over the past 40 as a subscriber.
Wow.
So, you know, I never have time to read the magazine anymore. It's shocking, but I hardly ever have time. And now one of my good friends is a writer for SI, Pete Thamel.
New York Times.
Pete's a great guy. He's based in Boston. He just recently left the New York Times to go to work for SI and SI.com. And he's a smart son of a gun. He knows as much about college athletics in this country as any human being alive. And really happy for him, you know. He's one of the few Syracuse wanks that I actually like. You know, so all right. So let's get to the matters at hand then, because what we need to consider here now is the Miami Dolphins first and foremost. And everybody's going, yeah, finally, wah! You know, we kind of talked a little yesterday about how it's so bizarre that you're through with New York and you're through with Buffalo and you have yet to even face Miami. But I want to point out here is that maybe the schedule maker, in their infinite wisdom and the quirkiness and setting the schedule up like it did this year, knew what the hell they're doing, because Miami clearly has something to play for, as do the Patriots, as we all know. The Dolphins are 5-6. Now, while the Patriots can clinch, you know, the AFC East, I believe mathematically can clinch a tie if they win on Sunday. Because the worst they could do would be 9-7, and the best that Miami could do would be 9-7 thereafter. Right?
Mm.
So the worst they could do is clinch a tie for the AFC East if they win. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it means, you know, the playoffs are all but assured. The question now is, of course, and not like there was ever really any doubt. I understand that part. But the question now is all right, can this team find a way to improve itself enough where they can get one of the two first-round byes? And so, as we've talked about, and we began really talking about this about 2 weeks ago, if I recall correctly, but it was just a smattering. And now we're really going to turn up the heat as we head into December.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time that you really do need to be paying attention to this. You got to be paying attention to what Houston and Baltimore are doing every week.
Yeah,
and the fact
you
is,
need help from them.
You need help.
You need help.
Now, you got a chance to take care of Houston on your own right. Mm-hmm. Houston still has to lose one more time, even if the Patriots beat them. Baltimore's got to lose dos. They got to lose twice.
And New England has to keep winning.
Over the next 5 weeks.
They got to run the table.
Which tells me the Patriots have to run the table. And so for those of us that have thought, well, you know, they'll win one of the two between Houston or San Francisco, that's not going to do anymore. You want to get a bye, you got to run the table. You're going to have to be 13-3 to get one of those top two seeds and get an opening round bye.
Yeah, because then you'd have to expect Baltimore to lose two or three games, Houston to lose three games.
Not going to happen over the last 5 weeks.
No.
Not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
As tough a schedule as, I forget which one has the tougher, but
I think it's Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore has a much tougher
schedule.
Yeah, right.
I don't see them losing that many games.
I don't either. I don't either. So this is what we turn our attention to. And let's also keep in mind now that Miami's only a game out right now of potentially a last playoff spot.
Yeah, they're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So if they beat New England in Miami, which traditionally, over time, maybe not recently, but over time,
has been a
trouble spot for the Patriots.
Not impossible.
And I realize, well, it's a different team. Of course it's a different team. I'm just saying mentally, that kind of thing does creep into consciousness of players nowadays. It does. Coaches nowadays. Bill Belichick, tough place to play. We've always had trouble there. He always refers to that every week before you play the Dolphins.
True.
Whether you believe him or not, he still says it, which tells me that's in his consciousness. If you think it, it's real to a lot of people. It may not be a fact, but in reality, that's what it is. You think it, it's real. So the Dolphins have a shot, and if they beat the Patriots to get to 6-6 this weekend, they are smack dab in the middle of the playoff chase. And they have a game up on New England. Think about it. Now, okay, I'm not causing a mass panic here because I think we all know that there are some deficiencies on the Dolphins' side of the ball, just like we know that the Patriots have had some deficiencies as well, but the offense is largely, and now of late, the defense and special teams has been able to overcome. Miami has had trouble stopping the pass like the Patriots have. Stands to reason that, you know, Brady and the receivers should have a fair amount of success. All I'm saying is that if you have an off day and you're playing on the road and maybe you don't turn them over, or maybe worse yet, they turn you over, now you got something to be concerned about. And as we all know, it's football. We play the games on Sunday for a reason. Because anybody can beat anybody in this day and age in the NFL. So there is cause and pause for concern from a New England standpoint for this week. So how best now do the Patriots guard themselves from regression and instead progress to the point where they can be in position to play for a bye? And now we get to Justin Babin, who obviously is available after being released by the Philadelphia Eagles, and it has been a topic of conversation over the course of the last 24 hours, actually even a little less than that now since he was released late yesterday afternoon after we were done with this program. And it's been on throughout talk radio, talked about here in the Boston area. I'm sure it's made some of the national headlines as well, and I'm sure Patriots fans are saying, and they've already told you guys on PFW Progress today, let's get him, let's get him, let's get him. And all the arguments seem to say, sure, why not? What is, Escal, what's one reason that you can think of that you wouldn't go after and get a guy like Babin when you know that you may not have Chandler Jones this week and you've also got the injury problems that plague you and the suspension problems that plague you with Jermaine Cunningham?
One reason that I thought of this morning was this is a guy who's been productive pretty much everywhere he's been.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the everywhere he's been part. He reminds me too much of Brandon Lloyd in that he's a guy who seems like he's puts up numbers, but if that were the case, he wouldn't have had so many employers in his past. What is causing that?
Right.
There must be something in this guy that teams are willing to say, you know what, productive as you are, we don't need you. That, to me, is a red flag, that there's something up with him.
Okay.
So that's one reason that you might say, we'll take a look, but we'll pass. We'll go with what we got.
Okay.
That's one reason.
All right. And frankly, that does kind of fall in line with some of the mentality that goes on.
And I'm not saying that's what the Patriots are thinking or should be thinking. I'm just saying that you asked for one reason, there's one reason.
There's a reason. Okay. Beyond the obvious, is there another reason to go get the guy?
The obvious being that they need help.
Yes.
At that position.
The very obvious thing is that you need help at that position. You are suddenly thin. You're not sure when you're going to get thicker again, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you've already set a precedent. You need help at corner. Aqib Talib is there. He's got a little bit of funny biz in his background. Doesn't matter. Need a player. Go get the best available.
Well, another reason might be you keep a guy who's that productive away from a playoff competitor, potentially.
Well, that's kind of what I was leaning toward, to be honest with you. Because if the Patriots don't get him,
somebody
else is going to get him.
Somebody
and
will.
Is it going to be somebody that could directly affect you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what worries me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm concerned. I mean, take a look at the Patriots' chief contenders. Take a look at the teams that the Patriots have left on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Could one of those teams step up and make the same move that New England is about to perhaps consider?
Well, you would think the Texans wouldn't, just because they have so many of those guys already. You would think San Francisco wouldn't, because they have those guys already.
Again, they're right now depth-wise in pretty good shape.
Yeah. And you don't really, I think, have to worry about Jacksonville or...
But what about Miami?
But Miami's a possibility.
That's exactly what I
Miami's
was thinking.
Miami's a possibility.
It's exactly what I was thinking, especially now that you know you have the Dolphins still twice to play in the final four.
Or
weeks.
Further down the line, Indianapolis or Denver or...
One of those two teams that could be in the playoffs against
you. Could face
you.
The first weekend of the playoffs,
right.
Potentially.
If you don't have the bye. Right. There's no question.
Or an NFC team that you might face.
And if you go out and you get the guy and you've got room under the cap, and even if it's a short term, a 5-week hire, so what? You nip that problem in the bud by going to get him. When do we know if he clears waivers?
4 o'clock.
Today.
Mm.
Okay. So you'll want to stay tuned to your NFL coverage website or news source of choice. To find out if he's able to clear waivers or if somebody signs him prior to that, correct?
If somebody claims him, we'll know by 4 o'clock whether or not he's been claimed or not. If not, then we have to wait and see how long it takes for him to be signed by somebody.
Somebody, correct.
As a free agent.
And what if he's not signed by the team who claims him?
No. If a team claims him off waivers, he's theirs.
He's theirs already.
He has no choice.
Okay.
I mean, he can choose to say, no, I don't want to play for you, but then he can't play for anybody.
Right. So then he'd be... Until he's able to work out some kind of a deal with that team that claimed
right,
it.
Right, right.
That team is also on the hook if they claim him, they're on the hook
so
for his
current salary.
So that's why it's important to see, of the teams that are on the schedule left out of the Patriots, who's in position financially to afford the guy.
Right. So if that happens, he goes to that team. If nobody claims him, now he's a free agent. He can negotiate with whomever he wants and sign for whatever he can get.
Right.
And then there's no deadline on that. That can be whenever.
Okay.
But, yeah, within the next 90 minutes, we should have some indication as to whether or not he's been claimed or not.
Did I say Justin Babin? It's Babin. It's Babin, isn't it? And it's Jason, isn't
Jason
it?
Jason Babin.
Thank you. I thought so. I don't know. All of a sudden, see, Mad Cow set in already. I was just thinking, I said, did I say Justin Babin? No, it's Jason Babin, right?
Paul's been calling him Babin.
Has he been calling him Babin?
Yeah, so maybe that's
I'm pretty sure he's pronounced Babin, though, right? Based on the few times that I've actually watched Eagles games this year.
Yeah.
I mean, and I watched them early in the year, and I haven't watched them in the last few weeks because they've been horrible. So I've been trying to put my attention elsewhere. You know, I feel sorry for Andy Reid. Just feel sorry for the guy. He's been through enough this year already anyway, to be quite honest with you.
I kind of think he's overstayed his welcome, though. I was surprised he was back this year.
That may very well be.
I thought he was going to be gone after last year. But I think it's inevitable there. It's going to be a job opening in Philly.
Yeah. I think
might be more than one, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In Philly.
Yeah.
In that front office, potentially.
All right, so what are your thoughts on Babin and bringing him in? Is it no-brainer or no-go in your estimation?
I would definitely kick the tires. I would definitely, I mean, the question is, do I want to take him off waivers?
Yeah.
But right. Do I want to put a waiver claim in? That doesn't mean you're going to get him. You put a claim in, and then if a team higher than you on the waiver chain claims him, the higher up team gets him. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like draft order. You can all put in a claim. All 32 teams could put in a claim, but in that case, the team with the first pick gets him.
Right.
The highest, in other words, the worst team. If the Chiefs put in a claim for him, the Chiefs get him.
Right.
No questions asked.
But do the Chiefs want to afford him? That's a big factor, which is why you'll probably see a lot of the lower-tier teams pass on a guy like this. And then when you start to get to the playoff contending teams...
Right, now you have to start saying,
should we do this? Yeah. Do we do it to block so-and-so? I mean, then that's when you get into the cat-and-mouse game.
I think New England puts a claim in for him.
You think New England
I think
does?
New England puts a claim in for him. I don't know if they'll get him, but I think
they put somebody ahead of New England also do so?
That's what I'm not sure. And we might never know. Because if somebody else gets him, we might never know if New England put a claim in for him.
Well, for those that aren't aware, here's...
They're certainly not going to... Bill's not going to tell us if
he
put a claim in for him.
No, not at all. Because he's never shown his cards before. Why would he? That would be totally anti-Bill Belichick. He's never done that before.
Although, I think you can find out from the league if claims were put in.
Is that right?
I think so.
Before they actually release the information?
No. Once it's, you know, I think you can find that information out, so we might be able to learn that.
Interesting.
I think they do, though.
Well, Bateman had 15 and a half last year sacks.
I don't recall.
It was an extraordinarily high number, 15 sacks, and then he's got like 5.5 this year. Fallen out of favor somewhat. There have been some instances and rumors and things about, you know, off-field behavior or character issues or what have you, not dissimilar. And I don't know the particulars because, quite frankly, I have not studied up on it because he's only come into my consciousness over the last 20 hours or so. And then, of course, you know, last night I'm studying and I'm looking on the computer and I'm seeing that the Eagles let him go. And first thing that pops into my mind is, oh, you got to kick the tires on that one. That's the first thing that popped into my mind. And then, of course, I get up this morning and I see that the article's still there and I'm hearing local talk radio talk about it. And I'm thinking, well, then I guess it's got some life to it. It's got some legs. So then I'm starting to think, okay, so who might be in a position to kick the tires? Who could afford this guy? Looking at salaries and salary cap room and all that kind of stuff, is this a viable alternative for a New England team that could use a little bit of help at that position right now? And after you kind of examine it all, I kind of agree with you. I'd be stunned if the Patriots actually didn't put a claim in. That doesn't mean they'll get him, but I'd be surprised if they don't put a claim in because, frankly, it flies in the face against what New England's already proven that they've done this year with Tlaib in particular.
Yeah.
You have a need. There's an availability. You've got a first-round caliber-type player, of which Bateman still is. Whether he's slacked off a bit from last year, who knows what the extenuating circumstances really are to cause a drop in performance for him in Philadelphia. Maybe the team just sucks. I don't know. You know, and maybe he's just not willing to play for that, you know, organization anymore. And maybe, you know, playing for an organization like New England rejuvenates his career. I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs involved here.
They also could be thinking, you know, maybe they're calling around the league and gentlemen's agreements, talking to other front offices and saying, is anyone going to claim this guy? Is anyone going to put a claim in for this guy?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's kind of collusion.
And that does go on,
and that
on,
does
kind of
go on.
Yes,
I know
does.
It's called, you know, but in other words, let the guy become a free agent. And then at that point, negotiate as you will.
Can we slide
you? Can we just
you?
Let him get through?
Can
and
we
then,
slide you a little something-something if you let him get through?
And then we'll compete that way.
Yeah. I know. That goes on. It's not supposed to, but it does.
Because nobody wants to pay the money that he has left. So let's let him slide through, and then let's try to sign him for a reasonable number.
Right. And
we'll compete with you, but we won't go...
Yeah, we're not going to go past this.
Yeah.
And then if you wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let us grab
him,
then
that's a scenario I could see.
We'll take care of you the next time around type of thing. Yeah, I could see that. That happens.
Because nobody might want to pay him what... You know,
what's left on his deal?
Well, I forgot the exact numbers.
All right, we'll look that up. We'll look that up. See if we can.
Kev, can you find out exactly what he's got left?
Yeah, find out what he's got left on his deal officially.
I think it's a lot of years, though.
Yeah, I think he's got like
and a lot of money.
Didn't he have at least? I thought didn't he have like 4 or 5 years left?
I don't know if it's that much, but maybe three.
No, he's got at least three. I'm pretty sure he's got at least three after what I read this morning.
A lot of millions left. So.
Yeah, there's a ton of money left on this deal. I don't know that the Patriots...
It's 5.575 million overall, it looks like, this year.
Okay, so prorated over...
Well, prorated, that's you know, over a month, basically.
Now you're looking, he's probably having to make...
It's a million and change.
It's 1.8.
Okay, 1.8.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say not quite 2 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
he signed through 2015.
All right, so there's well, 3 years,
3 years
left.
Base salary of 4.25 mil.
Okay, yeah. So that's a significant chunk of change, especially for someone that doesn't have cap room, because that's you're putting some good change on your payroll.
I think financially, New England could do it if they wanted to.
If they wanted to,
I think they could.
Well, if they could, then they would just they would you know, yeah, okay. So they'd try to claim him and sign him.
Maybe
who knows? Okay, so all right, so we'll keep abreast of that one. But in terms of your interest in a guy like Jason Babin, yes or no, is it a no-brainer with you? Are you cut and dried? Hey, let's go get the guy if he can help us, or are you more tempted to take a cautious approach, knowing that hopefully Chandler Jones is coming back right around the corner? And again, we don't really have anything official on that, but we can only hope that that is the case. So
he did not practice today.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
Wasn't there for the start, anyway.
Okay. Was not present for the start of practice.
No.
Well, who else we got today?
Gronk, obviously.
Yep.
And then four offensive linemen. Vollmer and Mankins. Concerned about Vollmer now. I thought that might have been just a short week, give him a rest situation, but apparently not.
Okay.
And Zusevics, the rookie that they just activated on Thanksgiving, and Dan Connolly, who played.
Interesting.
So a little bit of maybe that's a rest situation for Connolly. I'll hold out that hope. But offensive line continues with the injury struggles. Not good for them. Positive news, though, you didn't hear me mention Julian Edelman.
Okay.
He was out there in full pads. Everybody was in full pads today, and he was among them. Now, my guess is he's going to be listed as limited in practice. But the fact that he's out there at all is good for him, especially the way he looked after that hit.
Interesting.
That he took from LaRon Landry on Thanksgiving. He looked like
that
could have been pretty serious.
But
he was out there today, so maybe he'll be back sooner than we think.
Okay.
And with Jermaine Cunningham's suspension, there was an open roster spot.
Right.
You thought maybe a wide receiver would be
allegedly Dante Stallworth was worked out but not signed.
Allegedly. And you would think maybe a defensive lineman because they're down Jones with the injury and Cunningham with the suspension.
Right.
No, our guy Jimmy Devlin from Brown gets the call up as a fullback. Now, let's not forget, he was a defensive lineman at Brown.
Defensive lineman at Brown, but he's brought in as a fullback. Love that. I absolutely love that.
But with the help that they might need,
yeah.
Maybe there's a reason why they brought in a fullback.
Yeah, you never know.
He's about 250 now.
Need an extra blocker?
Not much, not Rob Ninkovich's size.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened.
Why not?
Just tossing that out.
Like versatile guys around here, we know that much, right?
Yeah.
Guys that can do multiple things.
And they did apparently re-sign Jeremy Ebert, who they drafted in the 7th round this past year.
Right.
Practice squad, though.
Practice squad. Okay. All right, there you go. That's what's on the table. What's it worth to you? What's it worth if you bring in a guy like Babin? Is it a no-brainer or is it a no-go in your mind? Webradio@patriots.com, the email address. You can hit us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name, on Facebook, at JRook0722 on Twitter. We're going to take a timeout, and then Eric says he's got the definitive Twitter name, NID, for moi. Ready, set, go.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Welcome back in the playbook. Eric's very disappointed.
I'm pissed.
We're sitting here messing with Twitter.
I am ticked.
And the name that he had for me to replace
J Rooks
0722 has been taken.
God dang it. I am beside myself now. I had the perfect name.
You did.
JR on air.
That's pretty good. That was a good
one. It was nice, short, concise. It defined who you've been in your career.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. So who has that already?
I don't know, but somebody does.
That's terrible. I'm so mad.
So we need to find some other nominees then. We had a few people.
Well, you had one. You had one that was available.
Yeah, I had one that was. The one that was available.
Yeah.
So let me
it's a little bit long, but.
It's a little, yeah. That one right there. That's
it is.
Available.
I mean, it's easier to remember, though, I think, than all the numbers and everything. And
I don't know. Do you think maybe I should? Should I do that one? How about this? Let me see if this one is.
Okay. He's typing. He's typing right now.
Nope, that's been taken.
You're pigeonholed that way. You don't want a pigeonhole.
That's true.
You don't want a pigeonhole.
No, that's true. But let's see if that's available. That one's available. But then that could nail me.
Right.
Could come back and spank
right,
me.
Could, right. Yeah.
I don't want to mess with karma.
I think maybe go with the one you had.
You think?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, even though it's long, I think it's easier
long.
To remember. It's
one,
easier
two,
to remember.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's 13 characters. Is that long? That's too
well,
long.
I've seen longer ones.
Yeah?
But
by the way,
I think that works.
By the way, this is scintillating radio.
I think
should scintillating be our
no,
word
but
of the day?
It's happening. It's happening as we speak. People
are
witnessing
live.
Something.
You're
live.
You're witnessing the live changeover of my Twitter account.
I think you should do it.
This one?
Yeah, and then if we come up with something more concise, we can alter it again.
We're going to do it again?
Well, if something great comes to our minds, but I think this will work for now.
All right. That's it. We're doing it. Let me see. What's my... Oh, I got to remember
my
password
your
now.
Password now. Oh, boy. Now you're going to forget that, aren't you?
Okay. No, that's it.
Is it working?
I think it did. There it is.
There
settings
is.
Have been saved.
There
okay.
It is.
There's the new Twitter account. You ready? You got a drum roll, Kev?
Yeah, drum roll,
you
please.
Need, you need a drum roll because we have to give everybody the new Twitter address. At JR Broadcaster. There you go.
Yep.
That's it. At
much easier rolls off
remember,
the tongue. Much easier to remember.
Than JRook0722?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. So it's at JR Broadcaster. There you go. Looks like it says Junior Broadcaster.
I was just thinking that, actually. You're going to win some contests like the Celtics had. It's Junior Broadcaster
hey,
night.
Guess what? I'm the Junior Broadcaster of the Year. Woo!
But you're also a rookie.
That's true.
Well, after all these years.
That's also true. Listen, that's the one
nickname.
You're
youthful. You're a youthful guy.
That's the one thing that I have done or that I've had my entire life is that nickname, rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, you know, when I get phone calls from people who don't really know me, is this Mr. Rookie? Because my last name is spelled mm-hmm. Rooke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, Mr. Rookie's not here. Because that means that somebody doesn't know me, and I don't really want to talk to you if you don't
right,
know me.
If you don't know him, yeah.
Right? Because they're either trying to get mm-hmm. something from you or sell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I don't have any time for that. So if they always ask for Roke or Runk or, you know, Rookie or whatever, you know, Rourke. I've heard been called a lot of different things really badly. Then I'm like, okay,
yeah.
No, Mr.
No.
Rourke ain't here.
No.
Sorry, wrong number.
JR Broadcaster works.
Okay, so
I like
there you
it.
Go. Junior Broadcaster. I'm a Junior Broadcaster. At JR Broadcaster. Okay, so let's get some Twitter people in here. Let's go. At JR Broadcaster is where you need to hit me up on Twitter. All right,
I like
so
it.
Big E just took care of that. We saved that for a live portion of this program today, just for you, who listen inside Patriots Playbook. Shocking, isn't it? Just absolutely shocking. All right, Tim in Baltimore sent a great email. I wanted to share it with you here, Big E.
Okay.
Where'd it go? Come here. Where'd you go? There it is. He says, hey, John, I'm pulling for you to get the job, but I think you should give us an audition. Could you give us a demonstration as to how you would have called the butt fumble play as the play-by-play guy?
I think you just got it right there. That's the broadcast he would have gotten right there.
He would have laughed.
The laugh.
Let's see. Sanchez back to pass. He's looking. Oh. Up, he's down. He got knocked down by the biggest ass you ever saw. Ball is loose. Fumble recovered. Return for a touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Okay, there you go.
Oh, by the way, thought of you on Thanksgiving.
What?
I thought you actually came down and were doing PA at MetLife Stadium.
Come on.
Because every time, the three or four times the Jets had a first down, the announcer was saying, that's good for another Jets. And then the 10 people who were left were going, first down.
Come on. Everybody's copied that now. I really should have patented that.
Yeah, I know.
Another Patriot!
I totally screwed that up.
And he was lame.
I totally
he
screwed
He was lame.
Yeah, I heard.
It.
I heard.
And the
heard.
Crowd obviously was lame because, you know.
But see, that was, Kevin, we need a more current recording of that, because that was back in the days, you know, before, you know, we got slapped with all the, you know, potential fines for cheerleading.
That's why I like that one, because it's good. Wait, that's what it's supposed to be.
Believe it or not, I have another one in here.
You
have
another one?
This.
All right. I like that one, though.
Throw it.
Rohan Davey, pass complete to number 81, Bethel Johnson. And that's enough yardage for another New England Patriots.
I have no idea what that's from.
That was Dale Arnold.
I know who it is. I just don't know what it would be from.
Oh, my God.
No,
did he fill in for you?
He did one time. Yeah, one time. Yeah, I know. That's pretty bad.
No, the first one was... That's perfect. That's the way
nice
it's meant to be.
Nice package, Bear.
Whoa. Package. What are you doing over there?
I don't know, Kevin. He's just pushing buttons in there and said, here, what's this one sound like? Let's see what this one does. See if this gets a rise out of him. I get it. So, I hope, Tim, did I pass your audition? Tim in Baltimore, did I pass your audition? Oh, it's good, though. All right, Frank sends this. Frank in upstate New York says, all right, the pros for going after Jason Babin.
Yep.
Babin. I'll keep wanting to say Babin, too. Jason Babin. He says, pro. He has played very well against any NFC opponent we will be facing the remainder of this season or could face in the Super Bowl. On a winning team, he gives 100%. Daydream about having the ability to rotate valid and sustained pass rush. I like the third one. I don't know that we know so much about the first two, although I guess you can say he's played very well, but really relative, because the Eagles are 3-8, for God's sake. So how could anybody have played particularly well, right?
Well, individually you could have, but
5.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Okay, so he hadn't played bad. But all right, so the cons, Frank says, given his current lack of performance, will he actually show up for the remainder of the season if there is no apparent opportunity for a long-term contract? I think that's key.
Whether he's motivated?
Yeah, because if he's only going to be here for five games, is he going to be motivated to play knowing that he's a short-timer? I would suggest to you, and by the way, his other cons, let me get through the other cons here. He says more locker room disruption than he's worth, cost versus the bottom line, does he have the ability to think team with the word team in quotations? And I would still allow here that if there's no apparent opportunity for a long-term deal, that it's probably not as big a deal for him because he does, A, have a chance to get into the postseason, and B, with the AFC being the alleged, shall we say, less competitive of the two conferences this year, in other words, more stronger teams top to bottom in the NFC again this year, which I think we all pretty much can agree on, that there might be more of a chance to actually get to the bigger game and win it.
Mm-hmm.
And is that enough of an incentive for anybody?
Mm-hmm. It should be.
You would think so. Tlaib is a little different because Tlaib knows he's also playing for a contract.
Yes.
But guy like, you know, Babin, he's locked in.
If he gets claimed off waivers.
If he gets claimed off waivers. If he's a free agent.
Now, if he signs as a free agent and only does a, you know, through the rest of the year.
The rest of the year deal.
Now he's like Tlaib. He's got
two things
to play for.
And he's got two things to play for. But your question for the Patriots and whether or not they should, you know, rattle the cages here is, can you risk, you know, leaving him dangling out there for anybody to get under that last scenario? And the answer is, I don't know that you can do that. I think right now, because you have the need, you probably got to take a gander at, you know, a short-term rental and pick him up for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. That's where I'm leaning. So
okay.
We'll find out shortly.
It's all, you know, it's all good conjecture. But Frank says, in Bill we trust. Glad I do not have to make the call, however. So clearly Frank says, why not? Kick the tires. Let's go get him. See what we got. No harm, no foul. If you can afford him, you've got room under the cap. You've already gone and gotten Tlaib. So far, so good. Of course, we've only gotten through a couple of weeks with the guy. You know, to me, again, you've got 4 weeks suspension staring you in the face for Cunningham. Mm-hmm. You really, this way, you don't have to. You don't really know how long Chandler Jones is going to be out. I got to admit, I mean, yeah, I've tried to think of all the negatives that I could here. You know, just trying to play devil's advocate with myself. I do that a lot. Multiple personalities, I guess. And then I can't come up with anything that's like really grabs me. I'm kind of like, well, why wouldn't you go out and take a flyer on this guy?
That's
how bad a guy is he? Did he commit murder? Well, hell, Ty Cobb got signed. He committed murder, allegedly.
Ty Cobb? Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he killed guys.
Over what?
Oh, this is way back in the early 1900s, wasn't it? I think so. Look it up, Kev.
Really?
I don't think I'm whistling in the dark on this one. I don't think so.
Accused of, not convicted of.
I don't know. He's never accused. Never convicted. No, but he was accused of killing people.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sounds like he could have been part of some old Wild West gunslinging things back in the day.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, nowadays that kind of stuff, is going to slide by. Clearly, I mean, it slid by for athletes in the 1940s and 50s just because there wasn't any media that were on top of them at all times. I mean, the media didn't really become prevalent in this country following professional athletes or even college athletes. They followed college athletes more than professional athletes back in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They did.
Notre Dame's and...
Without a doubt.
Sure.
But media didn't really become saturated until the 1970s.
And even then...
Limited extent.
Yeah.
1970s.
Even then, it was newspaper driven.
Yes, largely newspaper driven. And then when you get into the 80s,
6 o'clock news.
Yes, and then when you get to the 80s, then it was really, honestly, I hate to keep going back to this, Eric. It's the Watergate thing. Watergate era changed everything in this country, how we cover stories, not just politics and real life and real world scenario things, but sports too. It's the Watergate mentality. Everything changed after Watergate in 1974.
Yeah.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if we don't have Watergate, I honestly believe that we might just now be coming into the internet. I'm serious. I am dead serious. I think having Watergate and the need for information and the need for alleged truth.
Transparency and all that.
Yeah, the transparency and everything that we do out there now, the need to know for everyone listening to this conversation right now, because you're on a website, because you need to know about your Patriots, or you need to know about pro football at large. That had we not had, Watergate come out the way it had, that it could have probably lopped a good solid 10 to 15 years off of the shelf life right now of where we are in terms of our progression as a society with the electronic media. Without a doubt.
Interesting.
Without a doubt in my mind. Once Woodward and Bernstein, let it leak that, President Nixon was, taping conversations and deep throat and all this stuff that was going on up there, and they were robbing the Democratic National Headquarters and burglarizing and this and that because he was so scared of, George McGovern. God, can you believe that? People are like, oh, this is going to be going on all the time. Well, I want to know now what's going on. This is my government. I'm a citizen. I have a right to know. And so the quote-unquote right to know is what has driven our electronic media to the point where everybody wants to be a Woodward and Bernstein if you're in the business. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the business as a citizen of the U.S., quite frankly, you just want to know.
Yeah, you want to consume.
You want to consume. Yeah. I need information. I need to know. So anyway, okay, so there's my generic statement for the day in terms of coverage.
All right.
Before you get out.
Yep.
Kevin, I believe we have one last deal to attend to today.
My britches need to be pulled up a little bit here.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Word.
He does that so well.
Of the day.
Go gather for around the fire.
Gather around the fire.
Well, I'm going to circle back to the opening conversation you had about college sports.
Okay.
And conference realignments.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to give you the word desultory today.
Desultory?
Yes.
By the way, what did you score on your SAT? Were you one of those geeks, nerds that had a perfect 1600?
No.
I bet you were 1400 plus, though, weren't you?
No, not even that high.
Come on.
No.
Really?
No, 1200.
That's very respectable.
Back, this is before. Now it's, old, now it's now like 2400.
2400. Old scale. Right? Yeah,
1600 was the old scale.
Right, 1600 was the old scale.
So I had 12 out of 16.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
I got an 1180.
You guys both did better than me.
I was dropped on my head as a child.
You guys both did better than me. I took my SATs the day after I got out of the hospital having knee surgery, knee reconstruction surgery, right after I tore it up in high school. The SAT was the next day. So hip-to-toe cast, out of the hospital, I'm taking the SAT. Scored 1,100.
Good.
Scored 1,100. My mom said, do you want to take it again? I said, no, it's good enough to get me in where I want to go.
So back when the dinosaurs were on the earth, when you took the SATs,
wow.
Was that... Woo.
Well, he's always taking shots at me because of my moss up here, so I got to shoot back every once in a while.
You just took a shot at yourself by calling it moss.
But whatever. But so back then, John, was it ultra important? Were they considered very highly when it came to your resumes?
Yes, they were considered. They were considered, I think, way more important now than way more important then than they are now.
Yeah,
a lot of schools now don't even ask you for SATs or ACTs. That they're optional if you want to submit them as part of your overall.
Is that right?
Package.
Well,
that is correct.
He's
and I know this.
With his son.
Well, I know
this
because right. Austin, the rookie, he's going through it right now. He's applied to 8 colleges in this country,
and it's not.
And I believe. Out of the 3 of the 8 schools that he's applied to, it's optional only.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my kind of life. Right
wow.
There. But I would have rather not taken it.
Yeah, but he's also one of those guys that doesn't, one of those students that doesn't have any problem writing an essay.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, oh, you need another essay? Fine. He just punches it out.
I never did either. I struggled with the math portion.
Well, I think that was why I do what I do and probably why he's leaning toward what he wants
to do.
Probably
why all 3 of us.
Because we are all somewhat, you know, somewhat glib from time to time and don't have any problem punching out a couple of paragraphs on why I want to be, you know, a truck driver. Mm. Nothing that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying I'm using that as a generic term. As opposed to being able to, you know, solve a geometric equation, which still causes my eyes to twitch. So, all right.
So, desultory means haphazard, disconnected, disjointed, random mess, basically. And that's what college sports, and particularly the Big East, has become.
It has become a
random, haphazard, disconnected...
A desultory landscape.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Desultory landscape. Yeah. That is college athletics mm-hmm. nowadays.
Yep.
Okay.
Epitomized by the Big East, I would say.
Oh, my God. I'm beginning to wonder now where my next paycheck is going to come from.
Hopefully the New England Patriots.
Well, we'll keep thinking along those lines. Thanks, Big E.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, actually, you won't see
no,
me
you're
tomorrow.
No, you're right.
Because
right.
I've got the
You've got to go.
I've got the de facto Big East football championship game broadcast. All right, here you go. I did this for Tim earlier today in Baltimore, right? I did the little, you know, goofy play-by-play thing.
Yeah.
If you really want to hear what I sound like, okay? All you got to do tomorrow, here's your website, okay? And you can stream the broadcast for free in its entirety if you care. You want to listen.
Yep.
It's Big East, BIGEST, .tv.
BigEast.tv.
That's all you got to do because right there you'll see where it has live streaming broadcast.
Right. Listen
you're
live.
Listen
whatever.
Live. You're going to click it on. You click on the game,
Rutgers-Louisville,
and you'll get the live stream from the IMG Sports Network.
At JR Broadcaster.
Yes, you'll hear at JR Broadcaster. Calling
the
game with by the way, former Patriots center Pete Brock.
Oh yeah,
he does these college games with me.
All right,
so is he the senior broadcaster? If you're the junior broadcaster?
See, I knew that he was going to do this already. Now I'm being made fun of. So Eric, it's time to go back to work. Got to come up with another one.
No. Well, if I think of another one, I will let you know.
That's
Have
it.
A good trip.
All
man.
Right, thanks, Biggie. We'll talk to you later. All right, let's get a timeout on here, and then we got to get Russell Baxter on the line here. Pro football guru, Russell Baxter, coming up in the playbook.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Inside the Playbook, hour number two here on a Wednesday on Patriots.com radio with a new Twitter handle, off and running. I've already picked
Junior
up...
Junior Broadcaster.
All right, thank you.
Off and running.
Thank you. Already picked up two new followers, too, just in the last, like, 10 minutes because of that. So, I know. And it's a little bit weird because normally, yes, I know it's Thursdays, but it's a Wednesday today for Russell S. Baxter, who is at Bax Football Guru, his Twitter handle. So, Russell, first of all, thank you for the change in schedule today, because I'll be off doing the de facto Big East football championship game tomorrow night.
Oh, no problem at all. I love when you speak French, de facto.
De facto, absolutely. But I know that you're waiting with bated breath on the new Twitter handle. Which,
yeah, what is this called? Breaking news.
It is breaking news. We did it live on the show here about 20 minutes ago, thanks to Eric Scalavino, who is @escal_scal. My new Twitter handle is now @JRBroadcaster.
Oh, well, I'll have to, when I get off the phone, I'll have to make arrangements and start following.
Well, it should go automatic though to you, I think.
Oh, is that how? Oh, okay.
I believe so. I think so. But that this way
I
now you
make sure the proper new address when I send out my Friday follows on Friday.
Yeah, exactly, which we're all very appreciative of, because I've gotten a huge boost from your FFs, your pound FFs, your hashtag FFs on Friday. So it's all good stuff. Thank you very much. I think
you're welcome, man. Everybody helps me. I'd like to help everybody else.
Well, that's what it's all about, especially in social media, the contact that you make. So I caught you on the cell phone today, huh? Are you out and about?
Yes, I am out 7 and about 3.
Okay.
In the second quarter, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
Running a little errands, and it's that middle part of the week. We actually did this last week on Wednesday as well because of Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's true.
And of course, the Patriots scored again. Any chance? Do you have any idea? I'm curious. Every time I turned around, in the span of... Imagine, I'm trying to think what you could make in a microwave in 52 or 53 seconds.
Right.
You know, you'd probably warm up your coffee. So if sure. you were unfortunate enough to, go over and do that and then, just kind of watching all of a sudden, shades of the Redskins-Broncos Super Bowl when the Washington Redskins scored 35 points. And here's one of my favorite facts of all time. They gained 356 yards of total offense.
Mm-hmm.
In the second quarter alone against the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yes.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that this franchise has never scored as many points as they have in back-to-back weeks that they have done in the last two back-to-back weeks. And I'm not sure what they can do for an encore. But our conversation over the course of the last 24 hours now has been whether or not they can improve defensively because the offense seems just fine. And, with the fact that a guy like Jason Babin has made himself, available through his dismissal, shall we say, from the Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of conjecture going on here is whether or not the Patriots should kick the tire on someone that could certainly fill a spot or a need right now on the defensive front, since you don't know really how long you're going to be without Chandler Jones, who, as has been a tremendous, pleasant surprise, even as a first-round draft pick, but no one knows how hurt the guy really is because we don't talk about that around here. And you don't have Jermaine Cunningham, who was suspended for 4 weeks through PED. So why not kick the tires on a guy like that? And that's who, that's what Patriot fans seem to be kind of locked in on right now.
Well, listen, here's a guy last season. How's this for, it probably speaks more of what's going on with Philadelphia than it has anything else. But Jason Babin was a guy last year who had 18 sacks, John. In the season, that's pretty
18.
Respectable
right.
total.
Okay, yeah.
The Eagles this year, as a team in 11 games, have 18 sacks.
Wow.
And he had 5.5 of them. And the wheels, obviously, the carriage, the chassis, everything's kind of come off in Philadelphia. Who really wasn't all that long ago. Maybe it was that they were 3-1. They had beaten the Giants on a Sunday night. And they were all alone in the NFC East with a 3-1 record. Everybody else was 2-2. And they haven't won a game since. And it's amazing. And now, you always get a little house cleaning here and there with Babin being let go. I think I was as surprised as anyone, especially when it comes with 5 games left in the season. But, you bring up concerns about the Patriots defense, which still has issues. Even in these games, and listen, you can take yards for what they were, but the Colts game in which they scored the 59 points, Andrew Luck was able to move the football against them,
mm-hmm.
Fairly successfully. I know, and also part of this scoring, when you talk about the defense, part of the scoring has been aided by the defense and the special teams. They have 5 touchdowns the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're clicking on almost all the cylinders. Unfortunately, the thing that has kept them from winning a championship recently is still not 100% clicking.
Yeah. Very true. By the way, is it Babin and not Babin?
I was always told it was Babin.
Hmm. Okay, because I heard, I think the TV guys last week, in fact, said Babin, and then so we've been calling him Babin all day, and I guess we need to get some official confo on that.
Well, I'm going to go with Jason Tomato instead of Tomato.
Okay, that works.
Because Tomato, Tomato.
By the way,
forever it was Takeo Spikes, and then it became Takeo Spikes.
Yeah. Tequila.
So you can call me Russell for all I care.
Or call me Rookie, which everybody does already anyway. Right?
I really don't know. I've always pronounced it Babin. If it is something else, that's that happens sometimes. There, I remember a player, and maybe I'm telling the story wrong, Derek Dodge, who's really was Derek Dodge.
Mm.
But it was something that was never kind of straightened out at Florida State, and it is what it is, and so on. It kind of took on a life of its own. So sometimes these pronunciations, when I finally believe it, when I hear the player himself, it comes out of their mouth. Of course, when the player themselves says it, they're talking in third person, and then it becomes a whole different issue. So, haven't we had enough issues in the league this week?
Yeah.
With the horrible controversy involving Jamal Charles and Peyton Manning. I mean, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's a horrible controversy.
Terrible.
I've actually known, before we get onto that, I've actually known some players to purposely mispronounce their names just to jack with people.
Yeah, why not? Exactly. So you never know. But we've probably spent more time on Jason Babin here.
Than we probably should have, right?
The defense has spent getting to the quarterback this year. Just what a miserable year it's turned out to be for the Philadelphia Eagles on the field. And this was a team that looked like it had a glimmer of hope last year when they won their last four games. And even this year, early in the season, finding a way to win those. Remember, they one-point wins. Their three wins were by 4 points.
Right.
And they were finding ways to win games. And unfortunately, really as of late, finding ways to lose games. They're, giving up 30 points. I want to say they've given up 30 points for the last five games, maybe even worse.
Okay. Let's start off then, before we kind of take a look at some of the games this week, with what you just mentioned about Jamal Charles and Peyton Manning, because honestly, I kind of go back and forth on this issue. For those that aren't aware of the story, there was a local Kansas City television station, caught Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe asking Peyton Manning for an autograph after the game this past Sunday. Now, the fan in me says, hey, that's kind of cool, although I don't know that there's really anybody that I would do that with. But at the same time, there's also sort of a thought process that that's maybe not such a cool thing to do. So I don't know where you stand on this, but what are you getting the sense that the conjecture is maybe from other pockets of the country as to whether or not they did something that was proper or improper?
Well, I just think you have to listen. I am as old school as anybody is as old school. But you have to acknowledge the fact that this is a different league and a different time. Now, I mean, we were 20 years in the free agency. That's not an awfully long time. But gone are the days, whether you like it or not, of, the Redskins actually hating the Cowboys, okay? Or the Chiefs actually hating the Raiders. Now, listen, those are rivalries. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay them. Well, Pittsburgh and Baltimore play again this week. We know what that rivalry is like.
Right.
But it's so much different than it was in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. I mean, these guys work out together. You see all the time that teams take players within the division in free agency. It's all based on systems. So it's a lot different than it used to be. You know, to me, this is a no harm, no foul situation. And if you really feel that strongly that was a problem, would you have felt that it was really a problem if the Chiefs were 10-1 rather than 1-10?
Yeah, that's got to be it. If you're 10-1, I don't think anybody really has a problem with this. But the fact is, they're 1-10, and so the line seems to be being drawn, Russell, between old school and new school type players or attitudes. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, I think so, and I just think for whatever reason, these stories like this take on a life of their own and become something. I mean, it's like, was it a couple of years ago that LeBron James used to wear a Yankees hat?
Yes.
He's not allowed to, right? That's against the law.
Right.
Not allowed to root for he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I'm just curious, where do we, I understand that we want our athletes to win. Are we that controlling that we want to control their lives from top to bottom? Okay? I mean, what are you going to tell me next? That LeBron James can't eat a New York strip steak?
That's true.
Okay, I mean, because it's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I think it gets to the point where, to me, this is no harm, no foul. And I'm willing to bet you, if this was a 10-1 Kansas City Chiefs team, this would be an absolute non-issue.
But if you're a Chiefs fan, I think you can understand why some people would have a problem with this, because, first of all, they're smiling and laughing after getting beat, and the team is 1-10, and so that kind of goes to show you what that team may be really all about, that there's no institutional control, there's no self-pride, there's no nothing. It's just a bunch of guys going there, punching the clock, grabbing a paycheck, and having fun.
Well, no, I totally get that part of it, and that's where the old school part of me kind of rears its head as well, John. But are you laughing during the game? Listen, I've seen games where teams were getting blown out, and during a timeout, teams were, next to each other, players from opposite teams laughing. Now, that, to me, is a little bothersome. You're down 31 points, and you're kind of throwing a joke with somebody who's on the opposite team. I can totally understand that. But this, to me, sounds like it was after the game, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I guess what I'm saying is, it seems to be taking on an awfully big deal, opposed to being something that's just maybe something minor. Maybe I'm explaining myself wrong. It just seems like it's taken on a larger life. In other words, there are bigger issues.
Yeah.
There are just bigger issues than, I mean, does that mean that Jamal Charles doesn't care? Because he looked like he cared the other day when he ran for 100 yards.
Yeah.
Against the Denver Broncos, and they played a very, very tough game. And, I mean, they try to continue to play tough games. It's been a horrible year for them. They can't hold on to the football. They've been one of the major disappointments in the AFC. I totally understand that. And, you know, listen, what if Jamal Charles was asking for an autograph for a child? I mean, is that not okay either?
Well,
I mean,
he did explain it was for his mama.
Right.
Well, wink, wink. It was for his mama, right?
Well, John, I see every side of it. I think my biggest problem is the fact that it has become too important to worry about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, that's. I think that's what, maybe I'm, explaining myself wrong, but I just think it's not that big of a deal that it has to become news. To me, it should be a footnote, not a headline.
Okay. Well, because we're all up in arms, especially the old school, new school battle, which is an ongoing battle, as I think we all know, in the sports world nowadays, and it really doesn't have to be just restricted to football. It can go with any other sport that's out there, that any time that, you know, old school and new school meet and there seems to be a little controversy, it's going to grab a headline or two. And you're right, it probably did catch a little bit more of the headline than it really needed to, but I thought it was kind of interesting, especially since you dropped it in there, sort of a, you know, and this happened as well. But you know what? It actually brings up an interesting point. You know, nowadays, especially in this day and age of exposure, you almost wonder why somebody would actually want to go old school and get an autograph from someone like that.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'll use the expression my mom used to do all the time, and I know you know it well. We have to make a federal case out of this.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's probably what I'm thinking more than anything else. And again, you know, situations, it's been a horrible year. For the Chiefs, there's no doubt about it. Okay, I mean, you know, the next autograph Jamal Charles might be worried about is the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not saying that to be glib. I'm just saying that's how bad it is. They're 1-10,
yep.
And haven't said, well, listen, an overtime win away from being winless this year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of times we focus on the 0-16 Detroit Lions from 2008. You know, sometimes the 1-15s are even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, they played tough a couple weeks ago on a Monday night at Pittsburgh. They played Denver tough the other day, but they're not getting it. In fact, they kind of slowed down on their turnovers. They've only turned over They've only had one turnover in each of the last three games instead of the mass amount of turnovers they were having. But, you know, it's not working. It's not clicking. And I just didn't, again, you know what? I've probably become a hypocrite here because I've spent 15 minutes talking about something I should become a federal case.
Of course. All right. So then let's look at Thursday night's game, because you've got Atlanta, New Orleans, and while Atlanta is 10-1 and still rolling along here, New Orleans is 5-6 right now on the outside looking in, but a win might not – well, let's put it this way. A win puts them on the road at least to possibilities, correct?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they got an enormous break last week, which could have been really a great week for them.
Yep.
But they got handled at home by the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
But if you look what happened, Seattle lost, Minnesota lost, Tampa Bay lost. Those were all the teams that they were chasing.
Right.
So all those teams were 6-4. They were 5-5. So if they would have managed to beat San Francisco, they'd all be 6-5. So in some ways they got, you know, bad luck. I shouldn't say bad luck because the 49ers outplayed them. But some ways good luck, that it didn't turn out to be as costly. Now, unfortunately, it being in 5-6, they're now lumped in with the Dallas Cowboys and, don't look now, the Washington Redskins,
mm-hmm,
in the NFC. So, you know, the NFC is a lot more intriguing right now in the AFC. Well, I'm sure we'll get to that in a second, where, you know, actually three of the four teams can win the division this week, which is astounding,
mm-hmm,
all in 1 week. But, I mean, that's how it is. So, but the one thing about the Saints is they've had to play. And by the way, congratulations to them last week. Even in the loss, they finally managed not to give up 400 yards in a game. Okay? I mean, I know that sounds incredible, but that was their best in terms of yards allowed. It was their best effort of the season last week. Of course, Drew Brees also threw two picks for touchdowns, which,
yeah,
to me was the pretty impressive win by the Niners on a short week to go into New Orleans to cool them off. So, but the one thing New Orleans does awfully well, beat the Atlanta Falcons. Drew Brees, since he's been there, going back to 2006, 11-2 against the Falcons. And remember, we saw it earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, they beat the Falcons in New Orleans, handed them their first and only loss of the season. And, this is going to be a very, very intriguing game. It's obviously the short week for both of them. And Atlanta's got to get past this bugaboo of the Saints. I mean, obviously, the Saints don't look like they're going to catch them. They're 5 games out with 5 games to play.
Yep.
But this stigma of not being able to beat that team, and that, I think that's why people still have doubts about the Falcons. You know, I know some people have doubts about them because they haven't won in the playoffs in recent years. I have doubts about them because their defense continues to be a liability. Now, that being said, last week they did a great job keeping Doug Martin under control, held him to 50 yards. It was a red-hot Tampa Bay team, and they did win a very, very important road game last week. But, you know, to me, until the Falcons prove they can beat New Orleans, and maybe tomorrow night is the night they take out all their frustrations on them, I'm kind of leaning Saints. Because one thing about the Falcons that still bothers me, and again, we mentioned the defense, they're still not running the ball with any kind of commitment. If they don't run the ball against New Orleans, then I'm really going to start questioning what's wrong with them.
The two teams that the Patriots, Russell, are following in terms of trying to earn a first-round bye in the upcoming AFC playoffs, Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. And the Texans this week are playing at Tennessee, 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Now, that doesn't sound like it's terribly daunting. But at the same time, Tennessee doesn't have much to play for. They're 4-7 overall. And Houston, you have to wonder at some point how much they really are going to play from week to week, knowing that they're kind of coasting in with a division championship.
Well, it's funny. We just mentioned all the AFC teams that could win division titles this week.
And they're one of them.
They're not one of them.
Well, because they already won.
No. The Texans have not. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet. Remember, the Colts are not that far.
Oh, they're 7-4. Yeah, I keep forgetting right. The Colts are in that division. Yeah, I know.
Well, the
yeah.
Colts are 7-4, and here's the thing to keep in mind, John. The Colts and Texans play each other 2 of the final 3 weeks of the season. Okay? We've seen a lot of that, by the way, in the league this year. Teams playing each other twice in 3 weeks. We've seen it with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Minnesota, Green Bay. We're going to see it, as we just mentioned, with Houston and Indianapolis, and that could well decide the division. No, but Baltimore, New England, and Denver can all wrap up their divisions this week. Houston can get in the playoffs this week, but they can't
clinch the division. Right, okay. Gotcha.
Obviously, for if you're the Houston Texans, and by the way, I got to give a lot of credit. I know the crazy call on Justin Forsett, which, you know, really was Jim Schwartz's fault. If he had not thrown the flag.
Right.
I won't also say that Houston couldn't have still scored a touchdown on that drive either.
Well, that was clearly
that necessarily cost them the game.
That was a blown call. There's just no two ways about it.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. He was definitively down. They got a monster break because of a technicality, and Jim Schwartz. It was almost like Jim Schwartz knew the rule and he threw the flag, and he couldn't catch it before it hit the ground.
Right.
Okay. So don't give up. What I'm saying, though, is who's to say that Houston might not have still scored a touchdown on that drive?
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. But here's what I do know. They managed to win 2 overtime games in a 5-game day span and do it in shootouts. And this was shortly after a 13-6 win. What I'm saying is this is a pretty resilient team that has shown they can win the slugfest, and they showed they can win the back-and-forth Donnybrooks, you know, by doing what happened with Jacksonville. And now they get 10 days off to play Tennessee. If you remember where they played Tennessee last year, Arian Foster had 100 yards rushing and receiving in Nashville. So, but that being said, I'll be curious to see what their defense is like this week after giving up the 37 to Jacksonville and the 31 to Detroit. So let's see, especially with that Monday nighter at New England just around the corner.
And then, of course, as we mentioned, you've got the Ravens as well. They're home, but they're against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who obviously are up against it themselves. This may be one of the few times in any Patriots fan's life that they will root for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, probably. Because you know, unfortunately for them, they lost to the Ravens, and they're a game behind them right now. So they need to not only get untied with Baltimore, they need to be a game better than they do. And you know, the Steelers last week, you know, so much talked about with the 8 turnovers and Charlie Batch being ineffective and stuff. You want to talk about a lack of support? The Steelers had Rashard Mendenhall, Isaac Redman, Chris Rainey, and Jonathan Dwyer in the backfield at any one time last week, John.
Wow.
Every one of them lost a fumble.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Wow. You know, I mean, that's when you get 8 fumbles in the game and lose 5, and each running back took a turn and lost the ball, you know, throw in 3 interceptions. And you know what the funniest thing about the whole game is? In the final minutes, they still had a chance to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really think about the last 2 weeks. The Steelers have turned over the ball 11 times. They gave up 20 points to the Browns. They gave up 13 points to the Ravens, in which the Steelers defense didn't give up a touchdown. It was a punt return by Jacoby Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So the defense has hung in there, but the offense has been horrendous. Offensive line issues. If I were a betting man right now, I don't think we're going to see Ben Roethlisberger this week. I know there's been a lot of conjecture, but we might see Troy Polamalu. We might see Antonio Brown. So they're going to get some people back, but I'm not sure Big Ben is going to be there in any case. You know, the Ravens haven't lost a home game in almost 2 years, although the last time they lost a home game was to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, yeah, okay.
So,
yep.
And a game that you probably remember very well, that was the Sunday night where Troy Polamalu blitzed Flacco
right
late in the game and jarred the ball loose, and they wound up winning, and that turned out to be the difference. But you know, the Ravens have beaten the Steelers 3 times in a row now, and I get the feeling they're about to make it 4.
All right, and then, of course, the Patriots meeting the Dolphins for the first time this season, and quirkiness of the schedule. You're through with Buffalo, you're through with the Jets before you ever even face Miami once, and maybe that was partially intended by the schedule maker. You mentioned some teams are facing each other twice in the last 3 weeks, trying to emphasize divisional play and potential championship scenarios at the end of the year to make games more meaningful at the end of the year. And who knew that this game actually has some meaning for both sides? A, you've already talked about it. Patriots can clinch in the AFC East with a win. B, the Dolphins are 5-6. They play themselves maybe into the playoff mix if they beat the Patriots.
Well, you know, the Dolphins were hot there for a while. They're kind of like Cincinnati. They have a winning streak of 3, a losing streak. That's what's happening with Cincinnati right now. Cincinnati's won 3 in a row after losing 4 in a row, after winning 3 in a row. And the Dolphins, you know, smoldering there at 5-6, a huge win for them last week over a very physical Seattle team. But there's a number that's just almost impossible to ignore here, John. The Miami Dolphins have scored 211 points this season. The New England Patriots have scored 219 in the last 5 games.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to ignore. And I know sometimes they've gone down to Miami and had their issues, and I'm still not convinced about that Patriots defense. I understand that. But I don't know if, you know, and it seems like we say this a lot. I don't know if Miami has the horsepower to come here and match what New England is doing right now. I mean, New England, Tom Brady is, once again, not throwing interceptions. Not that he's throwing a whole lot this year to begin with. They run the ball very effectively, and Miami's very tough against the run. But, you know, you want to talk about a team that's clicking. And, you know, 108 points in the last 2 games. And, again, can't underestimate what the defense and the special teams are doing. 5 touchdowns on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of positives here for New England. And I'm not saying Miami won't be competitive. But again, tall order. And we know how New England plays the second half of the season. It's been a long time since they've lost a game in the second half of the season. And I don't think this is going to be the week.
Well, the one number that's kind of popped out to me, and you talked about the whole 200 point thing, which is, you know, certainly a good one, but this one goes more towards the wagering aspect of it. Patriots are 4-1 this year against the spread as an away favorite. The spread is only 7 in this game, which I actually believe is right now anyway. That seems to be a little bit generous on the Miami point of view, but nevertheless, the Patriots have done a pretty good job of covering that. And you know, I'm just wondering though, how much influence does past history really have in instances like this when coaches refer to the fact that, you know, we've had trouble there in the past, even though they may or may not have, they still refer to it. Coach Belichick has talked about that this week. And really, how realistic Miami believes their chances are to, you know, not only win this game, but to crawl back into a potential playoff picture behind Ryan Tannehill at quarterback of all people.
Well, if Tannehill hasn't been lights out, to say the least. I mean, they've done it a lot of different ways. They've done it with, you know, pretty respectable defense. They've done it with the running game. I think Tannehill has been serviceable, but, he's still, I believe, thrown more interceptions than he has touchdowns. So, he's had moments, Ryan Tannehill. And remember, he's a guy who spent most of his career at Texas A&M playing wide receivers.
Right.
So, I mean, listen, there's a long way to go in terms of development here. But they've had their ebbs and flows, ups and downs. When they beat, remember they blew out the Jets up at MetLife Stadium, and
yep.
A lot of that was special teams. And listen, I think they played extremely hard. But you know, I always felt one of the big reasons Miami always struggled when they played New England always struggled when they played Miami. In Miami, it always seemed that Jason Taylor was having a good day.
Correct. Right.
Okay. And Jason Taylor is nowhere to be found on the Dolphins' sideline these days. You know, this is a game of matchups and stuff. You know, for a long time, I always cite this example. Remember, the Jets used to own the Dolphins for a long, long time. And I remember talking to somebody about this. You know, they went out and got a pretty good center from Seattle named Kevin Mawai, who became one of the best centers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got him, they found somebody who could block Zach Thomas consistently. And then the Jets would beat the Dolphins annually. Okay? They always found a way to beat them. So it's a game of matchups. And again, you know, it's not all about one guy, but I think some of those nightmares for the Patriots in Miami would occur when Jason Taylor was around. And it's just a different team. It's a different atmosphere. And New England looks like a different team. By the way, they've still got a couple of weeks to do it, but the Patriots, and I'll tease it for maybe next week, the Patriots have a chance to do something this season in terms of scoring that's never been done in the history of the National Football League.
Oh, I know where you're going with that one.
Okay.
I think we actually talked about it yesterday a little bit because we actually, I think you mentioned this a week or two ago.
Is this the 500-point thing?
It is.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Well, they're making it easy now. There's 407 points,
yeah.
93 points to go. They'd be only the second team in the history of this league to score 500 points 3 years in a row. It would be joining the Rams from 1999 to 2001,
mm-hmm.
but they would also become the first team in history to score 500 points in four different seasons.
Right.
All right. So, and I'm not that good on teasing.
I stole it from you. I know.
Go back to talking about autographs again.
Well, there may be some people going, "Wow, I didn't know that. Oh, he gave it to it anyway." You know. Well, yeah, we kind of did talk about it yesterday. I think. In fact, I think you originally referred to it a week or so ago. That you know, it might be something that to look for on the horizon. Nevertheless, be as it may, Patriots would you know. By the way, just before we get off the subject, I wonder if Matt Light still has number 99. Dancing in his dreams. You know?
Well, listen, Jason Taylor is one of the great defensive players of his generation.
Yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't just the fact that he was a sack guy. He was, you know, he made his share of interceptions. He had a nose for the ball in terms of picking up fumbles. He turned into quite the player. And, he's one of those difference-making type of guys that you always had to account for. And sometimes, no matter how good you are, at any position, you know, somebody's going to be better. And Jason Taylor, a lot of times, no matter who he played, was better than a lot of people.
Right. No doubt about it. Well, what about the rest of the games and everything else this weekend kind of intrigues you? I mean, what are you looking at? What seems special? Because I noticed that there are some games against teams that are clearly either on the bubble or trying to get into the bubble in terms of the playoff chase. And I know that's part of the excitement overall of December football is when you can actually use the P-word, playoffs, just in a good Jim Mora fashion here, for just about everybody in the NFL except for just a very few.
Well, I think the two teams I'm watching this week that I think are intriguing is a very intriguing game in Denver with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To me, they've become one of the intriguing teams in this league for a while now. I thought they would beat Atlanta last week. They did not. But I would not be surprised if they went into Denver and won. This is a team that's gotten a lot better. Remember last year, the Buccaneers turned over the ball 40 times, and a lot of that during their 10-game losing streak. They only have 11 turnovers in 11 games this year.
Ooh.
Last year, they're the worst team in the league against the run. This year, they're the best team in the league against the run. Now, they've been horrendous stopping the pass. But they kind of set the tone early in the season against the run. Remember week one, they gave up 10 yards rushing to the Carolina Panthers. I still think that's one of the more astonishing stats of the year.
Right.
You know, that being said, the Broncos are now without Willis McGahee, which is a big loss for them. But one of my favorite stats from the summer, which has a chance to become true here, is Peyton Manning, because last week he got the 26 touchdown passes. And, John, in the 14 seasons that Peyton has played, he's never thrown fewer than 26 touchdown passes. Now, the funny part about that is, you know what the team record for the Broncos is?
No.
27.
Huh. Wow.
And it's held by not only John Elway, but it's held by Jake Plummer as well. So Peyton can somehow throw two touchdown passes in the last five games. So, I mean, you know, listen, I know John Elway brought him in, but maybe John won't be so happy that he broke those records.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he could discuss it with him in New Orleans in February. So.
Okay.
All said and done, I wouldn't be surprised if a Tampa Bay upset this week. I think they're a very, very talented and feisty team who don't seem to worry too much about a home field advantage. They let a couple games get away from them. Remember, they were beating the Giants by two touchdowns up in New Jersey and let that one get away because their defense against the pass is very, very spotty, to say the least. That's probably an understatement.
Right.
But I just wouldn't be stunned if Tampa pulled that off.
That wouldn't hurt the Patriots, as I think
no,
we all know.
It certainly would not hurt New England. It wouldn't, although that is a team that New England beat earlier this year. You know, we such an unusual year in the AFC. Every team that won, I'm telling you stuff you already know, every team that won the division last year in the AFC is not only in first place again, three of them are up by three games, and one of them's up by four games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and the funniest thing is, you know, we saw all those teams play against each other in the playoffs last year. Baltimore, Houston, New England, Denver. So, you know, you want to talk about, you know, we talk about parity, and then we talk about deja vu. It's deja AFC this year.
Yeah.
In terms of what we think is going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Very true.
And most of it could actually happen on Sunday.
Sure could. Russell, thanks for taking the time today on an unscheduled day, but it's greatly appreciated, and we'll try to get back at you again, same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, the regular channel, regular time next week. How's that sound?
Well, thank you, Alfred, and this gives me an extra day to explore your new Twitter handle and make arrangements to make everybody follow you.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's very, very, very kind of you. It's always appreciated, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and watching football and enjoying it with your family.
Absolutely. And by the way, we saw a record-breaking day on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I don't think they realized that. We had 202 points scored on Thanksgiving, which was the most since they started the three games
format in
2006.
Right.
And you know what was really funny? Every quarterback threw for at least 300 yards on Thanksgiving.
I don't think that had ever happened either, had it?
I don't think so. Although it's really interesting to note that both Matthew Stafford and Tony Romo had exactly 441 yards and both lost.
Somehow I think that's a fitting end, right?
Well, yes. And by the way, for people who like to be home for the holidays,
yeah,
the home teams were 0-3 on Thanksgiving.
Nice. Yeah, that one I knew. That one I remember because I'm like, geez, the Patriots won. I think all three road teams won, and sure enough, they did.
Yeah. You want to talk about upsetting the you-know-whos and the new year what? I'm sure that created a little chaos in the desert, to say the least.
I think we're all upset. Chagrined that Fireman Ed is disgusted so much that he's decided to give up his cheerleading for the Jets.
Well, that was the second biggest story other than the handshake. <last week>,
so. Really? Other than Jamal Charles asking Peyton Manning for an autograph.
I know. The world as we know it is ending. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. We're all going to hell, so what the hell difference does it make? All right. Hey, Russell, thank you so much again, as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, of course.
All right, thanks. Russell Baxter, pro football guru, Bleacher Report, cold hard football facts. You can find him in all three areas. Just type in .com after that, and you will locate Mr. Baxter's good stuff. And he's with us usually each and every Thursday right here inside Patriots Playbook. All right, before we let things get away from us here, wow, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people have sent me notes on the new Twitter handle. So let me take some time to read a couple of them here. Felix sends this one. And he says, or I guess, well, I don't know which one to go by, Felix, because your name and your Twitter handle are completely different here. But he says, just put in your new name. Not sure if this is official. And then he goes, so cool. It is official. I have a question. Do you think New England can take the remaining five games and clinch a one or two seed? I'll be listening. All right, Felix, here you go. The answer to that is, and I guess I got to go with my original premise here, because when we were at the midway point of the year, I said I thought this team would go 7-1 in the second half, probably losing either Houston or San Francisco. Didn't think they'd lose both, thought that they might lose one, so I'm going to have to stand by that right now, and I think that that means I would have to answer no, because they're going to have to win out now. They're going to have to win their final five games in order to clinch a one or two. And if I thought originally that they would lose one of those two, then I don't really see a lot that's going to cause me to change that thought process. So I'd have to say no. Now, you get Chandler Jones back. Maybe you wipe the floor with Miami this weekend, although I somehow don't believe that's going to happen. But, you know, I'll reserve the right to change that prediction. I would tell you, though, that I think I could probably call it definitively as we get to Houston week, which is in another week, of course. So we're not there yet. You got to get by Miami this week, and then I might be able to give you a little bit better picture. But I would have to answer no right now. This one comes from A. Sharma, who says, like the new name, always fun listening to you and Eric. Thank you. Appreciate that. James sends this one as well. At HippieHunter83. Now, that's a good name. And he says, at JR Broadcaster. I like it. So there you go. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We've changed the Twitter handle. Escal, at E_Scal, Eric Scalavino. We changed it live in the opening hour of the program here today from at JRook0722. That is no longer an unwieldy number and no longer a hard address to either type in or to guess about. It's simply at JR Broadcaster. That's it. At JR Broadcaster. So follow me on Twitter if you're not already, at JR Broadcaster. Let's go to the Facebook page. And Tim says, well, now that you figured out your new Twitter handle on air, maybe you'll have to top it next week. Maybe some live Pictionary. Yeah, I know. It does kind of seem like we're heading that direction, doesn't it? He says, I'm all for bringing in help. Why not? Especially.
Boring.
Yeah, I know. Especially if Jones could miss time. Talking about the whole Jason Babin / Babin scenario, whether or not you make a play for him here. Especially if Jones could miss some time. Money shouldn't be a deterrent considering we're still paying Ocho's bonus this season. I hadn't even thought of that, Tim. That's a good point. It really shouldn't be any kind of a deterrent at all. I don't disagree with that in the least. Michael says, my brother-in-law's sister are season ticket holders for the Patriots. They're going to be going to the game in Miami. His birthday's coming this weekend. She's having his birthday wishes show up on the Jumbotron. Oh, nice. His name is Mike Mogan, so keep an eye out for the message if you go to the game. Any chance I can get a shout-out for Mike on your show, too? Consider it done. Michael, shout-out to Mike Mogan, and happy birthday early. He also says, the scheduling quirks have happened to a number of teams this year. I think the schedule makers wanted to have some primetime games, but didn't think enough about teams playing within divisions. Also, all is not lost if the Patriots have to play on wild card weekend. Sure, week of rest would be nice, not to mention the fact we'd be playing game show Wednesday. You know, there are priorities here. But the game would be in Foxborough, and the team should be able to get some momentum out of it. As for winning out, it is definitely possible, but like you say, anything can happen on a Sunday. Babin, plays when he wants to. Like Eric said, he has been plenty of places. Look into the issues. There's nothing wrong with Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe asking for autographs. That's much ado about nothing. Any thoughts on the Sue and Schaub incident and follow-up? And then he says, nice Twitter handle. I am not on Twitter yet. Well, see, now you have a reason to go on Twitter, Michael. You can follow at JR Broadcaster. Very simple. Thoughts on Sue and the Schaub incident follow-up. You know, when it happened, I was actually on the air, almost as it happened for NBC Sports Radio. And I said, you know, my initial reaction was, now, you can't tell me he didn't know where his foot was when he stretched out and accidentally, wink, wink, kicked Matt Schaub in the groin last Thanksgiving, Thursday. Subsequently, he's not been suspended. I don't know why he was given the benefit of the doubt in this instance. I guess overall, maybe he wasn't given the benefit of the doubt because he did have to answer to the league office following the incident because television replays picked it up. And we were talking about it on national radio. So, but then, you know, because of what happened with the whole arm stomping incident last Thanksgiving, I guess he doesn't give much thanks, does he? You would thought that something would have happened more so than it did. And I can't say that I'm disappointed because I'm not there, you know, to go through the tape and not there to listen to Ndamukong Suh's story or reasoning behind him doing what he did. So I won't pretend to know. All I can tell you is that I'm mildly surprised that he didn't get at least, you know, some kind of a suspension. That's... You know, I don't know that I can offer anything else other than that. He was fined $30,000. That was the news today, at least that I believe it was earlier today. He was fined $30,000 for the kick. But Sue did tell the NFL that he didn't do it on purpose. And so that's why Sue insisted he didn't need to apologize to Matt Schaub. So anyway, you know, I find the whole thing, though, if he did it once, he did it again, he's probably going to do it again, and you suspend him the first time, and I don't know, is the level of egregiousness, you know, different because you're not stomping on somebody, but you're kicking somebody? I don't know. I don't get it. I think this is inconsistency with the National Football League. And again, I wasn't there to listen to his storytelling. They fined him, but a $30,000 hit to a guy that makes millions? Come on. Really? Come on. I don't think so. I don't think it's that big a deal. I really don't. I don't think it's that big a deal. So, anyway, thank you, Michael, for the comments there. All appreciated. Let's see what else we have here. I had a couple of others here. Jeff sends this. He says, my prediction for the Miami game, thanks to Madden 13. So he's been playing, I guess, today. He says, New England 33, Miami 28. Interesting. And I'm following you on Twitter, too. All right. That's cool. Thank you, Jeff. Does the Twitter handle being somewhat easier to type in or remember make it easier to follow somebody? I don't know. I mean, I have to admit, I follow people on Twitter largely because I'm into the information gathering business. And being in the news, I like to hear what other reporters and broadcasters, you know, are saying. You know, and when stories pop up, that's usually the first place that stories get broken is on Twitter. Because it's so easy and so fast to get it out there in 140 characters or less. And so I never really stop and think about, you know, having to spell out a name unless I'm trying to search for somebody. You know, I mean, I don't think, you know, Coach K, Duke, would say, you know, his Twitter handle is at Mike Krzyzewski because nobody's going to know how to spell that. I get that. But I realized that, you know, the silent E on the end of my name and the three, four numbers that you had to remember, it probably was a little unwieldy. It might have had something to do with, you know, lack of interest other than being, I guess, just a bum, right? So, anyway, at JR Broadcaster is the new Twitter handle and enjoy, I guess. I don't know. Not any big deal to me. But cool nonetheless. Or as Kevin says, at Junior Broadcaster. I guess I can hammer myself on that one, right? No sweat. Well, geez, it's almost time for Kerry Byrne and Cold Hard Football Facts. As we speak, the man is walking into the studio, so I thought maybe we'd give him an opportunity to sort of cross-promote and plug what he's got coming up with the program.
I don't walk, John. I waddle. You know?
Well, but I wanted you to be able to catch your breath there, too. I think we all know that sometimes getting through security around here can be somewhat problematic. But after they see you for the 43rd time, they kind of figure it all out.
Well, listen, they run a tight ship and a great organization here. You know what we got coming up? We got a great friend of yours and a friend of radio here at Patriots.com, Russell Baxter.
Yep, okay.
And he's our fact master at Cold Hard Football Facts, in addition to appearing on your show quite a bit.
Perfect.
And we're going to talk to Don Banks from Sports Illustrated, who wrote a great piece about the Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith debate in San Francisco, a big issue for all football fans. And, of course, we're going to dive into plenty of Patriots and Jets and the kind of that comedy of errors on Thanksgiving night.
Right, no kidding. Jets, yeah. And the fact that, let's see, we had 200 points scored on Thanksgiving Day for the first time ever since we went to the three games on Thanksgiving.
And how about this not getting enough attention nationally or even locally? And we've talked about it at Cold Hard Football Facts. The Patriots on pace right now to be the highest scoring team in NFL history to break the record set by the 2007 Patriots. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and of course they'd be the first team also to go for 500 points or more in a season four times.
Yep. You know what? In fact, only 10 franchises, John, have done it once. The Patriots could do it four times in the last, what, 5-6 years?
That's amazing. That is kind of an amazing number.
Yeah.
All right. Kerry's all coming up. We're going to let him catch his breath, and then and then he will be with you from 4 until 6 o'clock Eastern time here. Program reminder, though, for you. Again, tomorrow, this show replays. Is that what we decided to do, Kev, tomorrow? This show will replay tomorrow because I will be on the road calling the de facto Big East Football Championship between Rutgers and Louisville. So I'll be in Piscataway, New Jersey with former Patriots center Pete Brock calling that game on the IMG Sports Network. And for those of you who are interested, because it did come up early in the show, and those that, well, geez, what does John Rook really sound like as he calls games on the radio? If, I mean, this guy's really going to be a candidate to replace Gil Santos, well, by all means, I'm open for criticism. We're open for business here. So you go to BigEast.tv. That's the digital website for the Big East Conference. They stream all of their IMG football broadcasts live for free. So you don't have to live. I mean, if you have an IMG sports affiliate near where you live, you can get it on terrestrial over-the-air regular radio. But if you don't, then you could just go to BigEast.tv, and then you get it streamed for free, and you can listen to the entire broadcast tomorrow night, listen to us do college football, and then you can give me your impressions next week, and I will take your criticisms here on the program as we try to, you know, develop that a little bit further.
Well, you got my vote for Voice of the Patriots. With a voice like that, John, how can you go wrong, you know?
Thanks, I think. All right. So, Kerry Byrne, Cold Hard Football Facts is coming up. This show replays tomorrow. We'll be on the road for college football. And then, of course, Patriots at Miami Sunday. And we nitpick it next Tuesday in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.